But like with Audra, that like the border that Nathaniel and Nielsen describe, its many boundaries are drawn in different places. And like the border that Nathaniel and Nielsen describe, it enables the differential inclusion of consumer activity, what is called in the world of brand management, consumer collaboration. That collaboration can include, for example, the enrollment of consumers in new product development, and product testing, but can also involve the use of transactional data in the development of brand strategy and the measurement of brand equity. So this is about the differential conclusion of consumer labour. It's about the ways in which the border between economy and society is not at the edges of the economy, but is in the middle, in mediation. And that's why I call the brand a new media object. But let me now move on to the second half, which will have to be much shorter, is how is this, these transformations brought about? For me, first of all, I want to say something about those, what those examples have in common. As it says here, I think we'll begin to think about all these three cases in terms of the space they produce, the space that emerges in the operations of the border of methods, the list that gets things done, one step at a time, the interactivity or response presence of the interface of the brand. They can't be mapped in terms of fixed external coordinates, but by operating a kind of superpositionality of many coexisting relational coordinates. And in that process, they bring into being a movement space. They are all simultaneously encounters with a multiplicity, the population as multiplicity, with the heterogeneity of everyday life as multiplicity. They have an elective affinity to the surface that is a space in itself. Paul Wagner, symbols that stand for themselves are important because they make and mark specific associative paths. He and a range of other writers from a range of different disciplines and different perspectives propose that the emergence of a symbolic culture is a response to the problem of making meaning. What's important about symbols is that they allow humans to ignore a vast web of word objects and object objects in lexical and iconic associations by using the shortcut of symbol-symbol relations to mark specific associative paths. Symbols are powerful in this view because they are virtual, they're shared, and they're exterior to the human mind. Indices of icons have been, relatively speaking, historically limited because of their dependence on individual perception in individual human minds. The argument, about that example, that I want to put forward is that the ability of the indexical to support symbolic relations is being vastly developed through the development of diverse, iterative, automatic processing, information processing systems, which have the capacity to support, extend, and make intelligible relations between entities outside the individual mind. So I'm thinking here of myriad contemporary tracking, tracing, mapping, tagging systems associated with intensively computational environments that enable a multidimensional mobile relationality to be produced and to exist externally. I also would point to not simply the extension of the role of the indexical, but also a kind of elaboration of the power of the iconic in transforming symbolic culture. And here, the examples I've given are in part to do with brands and colour. I think what's illustrated here is the way in which the brands enable a kind of intensification of the iconic in contemporary culture. enable a kind of reference to objects or relations of similar to you to be established between objects that do not exist. So Coca-Cola, readiness. Is there an object? Orange. This last example, which you can't see very well, I come from Bolton. One on the top here is our old logo, which has been revised. We now have, in part, this goal. And Goldsmith had a discussion with the head of marketing. She was very concerned that the goal shouldn't be too bright. It shouldn't be too bright, because that would be bling. She didn't want Goldsmith to be too bling-bling. She wanted it to be bronze. She won. I didn't want it to be bronze. So that's about coming third in any kind of reference. But the object that we're referring to, what is it? Okay, final comment. My argument here has been to try and look at a transformation in the power of symbols and their reliance upon indices and icons. The argument is that the power of icons and indices to support is being extended and developed in new kind of ways. And this leads to a different form of power. The power of symbols in what I would call a space of movement is that, as Wagner said, they are virtual, shared, and experienced. But the power of symbols in movement space is that they are virtual, not so much shared as multiple, and not experienced, but imminent. Because they work within a surface that is a space in itself. And the final comment there is that if we think of sociology in relation to that surface that is a space in itself, then we need to think about what are the capacities of sociology in that space. Thank you.
Social and symbolic analysis in comparative perspectives, Brazil and Argentina. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks for the invitation. There is a marvelous article written by Goffman about the conference. He suggests that what is delivered is much less important than the performance. But as I'm not fluent in English, I can write, I can read, so I propose to present in French. I studied in France, but I was advised not to do so. I read the paper, it's not very long, and it doesn't fit in cultural activity, moreover, assume the status of existence all of its own. The intertwinement of the social and the symbolic proved decisive in shaping all modalities of cultural production, from the normative system to highbrow culture. As these domains of symbolic activities differentiated and acquired features of the own, symbolic analysis could no longer be contrasted to the profits of producers and consumers. Science, law, art, literature came to constitute arenas of competition in the midst of which operate diverse categories of producers and clientels of meaning, pulsing in each of these social universes. Symbolic analysis grasps experience as condensed and translated into the codified language